Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from Acts, the chapter 1. When therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now this is the record in the book of Acts of the Lord's ascension into heaven. The earthly ministry of Christ was completed, and his mission had been accomplished. He had given final instructions to his apostles concerning the establishment of the kingdom, which is the church. The record is of immeasurable significance because of the basic fundamental truth that it reaffirms. Now, this event teaches that his authority is over all things. It affirms Jesus as the Son of God. It affirms that Christ was pleased with the work that he did on earth. It affirms his resurrection because all of this occurred after he had been lifted up to the cross, buried in the tomb, and lifted up from the tomb. The apostles were eyewitnesses of the risen Lord. It affirms also that his kingdom was soon to be established with certain beginning marks which specified, such as the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. But it also affirms the point of our lesson, and that is that this Jesus, raised on the cross and from the tomb and into heaven, will come again in like manner as he ascended. Now, many people are mindful of the birth and the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who obviously are not too concerned that he shall return. Some have taken biblical truth and polluted it through human doctrines, pagan customs, material vanity, and religious inconsistency, developing religious holy days around some of these events, like Easter and Christmas and other such things. And these smack more of man's attempt to soothe his own conscience once or twice a year by mentioning something concerning Christ, but the rest of the time living the year as he wants, regardless of the will of Christ. These celebrations has become more of a mockery of Christ than an exaltation of him anyway, seeing the commercialization surrounding them, the riotous behavior, the drunkenness, a parade of religious piety that displays more ignorance of the Word of God than it does respect for the Word of God. The true Christian believes, of course, the birth of Jesus by a virgin, his perfect life, his death on the cross for the sins of man. He believes in the burial, just as was prophesied, and his victory over death and grace of his and of the grave and of his resurrection. They also believe that he ascended back into heaven, just as the record declares. But they also have confidence in the truthfulness of the statements of the men in white apparel that will come again. Do we live as if we really believe that he's going to come again? Now, the early Christians believed that he would return. 2 Peter chapter 3 is a text that deserves investigation on this subject. Verses 3 and 4 tells of mockers who said, Well, where is he? He said he would come, but we don't see anything of him. Everything seems to be going along just as it always has. Verse 5 says, They willfully forget the power of God and his creation and the sustenance of the world and the event of the flood at the time of Noah, and that God is not boxed into time frames of human design and human inventions. Verse 8 teaches us that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. In other words, time is of no consequence for God to fulfill His promises. We cannot judge God's work according to our calendars and our clocks that we set. And verse 9 informs us that God keeps His promises. He has never failed to do so. Therefore, we can have confidence that the promise of His return is valid and is reliable. Friend, the anticipation of His return is a major element of New Testament Christianity. Verses 10 and 11 asserts that it is at His coming that the world will end, and there will be the judgment. Also in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, we teach that there will be a judgment and Christ will be the judge. Christians will have a new habitation, a new residence. His coming will make the fulfillment of the Christian's hope. Destroy the assurance that Christ will come again, and you have gutted much of the appeal of New Testament Christianity. The faith of Christ is reduced to nothing more than just another philosophy of life, but no more authoritative than any other, and with no more contribution toward the meaning of life than just some other human devised theory. Many people have made the mistake of speculating as to when the Lord will return. Well, I don't know, and friend, neither do you, nor does anyone else. Only false prophets make the attempt to tell us. During my lifetime, there have been those who have set dates. Some have even climbed up on mountains to meet Him when He comes, only to have themselves proved to be false prophets and followers of false prophets. There's a song that many songbooks of our brethren sing, and it puzzles me why they are used. It's entitled, "Jesus is Coming Soon." Well, nobody doubts that Jesus is coming if they believe the Bible. But nobody knows about that soon part. Oh, yes, He's coming. But where does one get the soon business? We ought not be inconsistent with biblical teaching than to sing error. Jesus said, Matthew 24, concerning His return, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Friend, that ought to end the speculations of men. But knowing not when He's going to return does not prevent us from knowing that He most surely will come. Peter and Paul said He would come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2 Peter chapter 3. This means His coming will be unannounced. It'll be unexpected, with no signs denoting when. People are always talking about the signs of the times. There's no signs of the times as to when the Lord is going to come. Life will be going on as usual, marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, as Christ Himself declared in Matthew chapter 24. And the importance is not so much when He's going to come as the importance of being prepared whenever He comes. And we must accept this emphasis right here. We must be ready. Now, Jesus taught, "I will come again," John 14 and verse 3. Again, He said in John chapter 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Dear friend, when He returns, He will have abolished all rule and all power, and the last enemy, which is death, that will be completely overcome. When He comes, the judgment shall take place, Matthew chapter 25, and He will deliver the kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Now, the return of Christ is a cardinal point in the doctrine of Christ. It is that for which the Christian hopes and that which the Christian expects. Peter said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot and without blemish." 2 Peter chapter 3. His promised return motivates us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Titus chapter 2. What value would there be to engage in religious performances if the Lord is not going to return? Oh, there's coming a time when we shall give answer for what we have done in this life, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And this fact we could ignore if Christ were not going to return. Of what value are the worship services, the Lord's Supper as a memorial to him, or the God-ordained rituals, the godly conduct in daily life, if there's nothing that awaits us but death and the grave and nothing thereafter? The emphasis of the lesson, dear friend, is concerning the return of Christ, and that's the reason for becoming and being a faithful Christian. Our Lord will return. The Bible calls for the glorification and praise of God through Christ. But involved in that is the recognition that the risen Lord will come again. And because of this inspired revelation, we must seriously consider the Master's invitation and the expectation, what he expects of us. We cannot ignore our accountability to him and the commands given us to him. He expects us to be obedient to them. And this involves becoming a Christian by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. And that this same baptism that one enters into Christ, his body, which is the church, we begin to serve the Lord as we look for his return. Having obeyed these things, it's required that we live a faithful life in work, in worship, in daily life as a follower of Christ, the Son of God. All these things take on added significance, do they not, in view of the announcement that the risen Lord will come again? You know, that must have been a very impressive situation for the apostles of Christ as they saw Christ ascend back into heaven. And then when they saw these two men in white apparel, and these two men announced, "Yes, you've seen him go into heaven, but the Lord will come again." And the Apostle Peter tells us that when he comes, that's going to be the end of all things. And there will be the judgment. And if we're not prepared for the judgment by having lived faithfully in Christ, that will be a terrible day for us. That inevitable and unavoidable day and hour when the Lord comes will be a dreaded moment by those who choose to reject the Christ. But now listen to me, friend, and herein is our hope, and herein is our joy. What a glorious day the return of Christ will be to those who've entered his fold and who remain faithful therein, because those are the ones that will hear the words from the Father, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and will enter into the joys of the Lord for eternity. Are you prepared for the day that our Lord will come again? You can be if you will obey the gospel and live faithful to Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.